Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Waters, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Dana Perino, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Liberals launching a coup at NBC News to kick Ronna McDaniel to the curb. In a tantrum expected in kindergarten, MSNBC hosts took turns with on-air outbursts over hiring one Republican.
You wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office.
I stopped inviting Trump liars like her on this program in 2016.
This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons.
We do hope that this decision will be reversed.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation.
Just 2 days after her first and only interview, company executives reversed their decision to hire the former RNC chair and apologized to the company for the harm the decision caused, saying this: "No organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that this appointment undermines that goal." And right on cue, the libs rejoiced.
When somebody does the right thing, I feel like it should be acknowledged as publicly as we acknowledged our outrage. And so I know how I feel about it. I am grateful to Caesar for actually making the right decision.
To see the essentially unanimous feeling among all the journalists in this building, then to see the executives and the leadership hear that and respond to it and be willing to change course based on it, based on their respect for us and hearing what we argued, I have deep respect for that.
These are the same hosts who fashion themselves as the arbiters of truth, but had no issue pushing the Russia hoax.
If the worst is true, if the presidency is effectively a Russian op, we need to start preparing for what the consequences are going to be if it proves to be true.
There was collusion. There was an attempt at collusion. It's clearly out there. We already have the evidence, Mr. President.
The president is a Russian operative. It is real. And it is Vladimir Putin's greatest achievement.
Now NBC may have an even bigger problem on their hands as Ronna lawyers up. NBC News allegedly didn't contact McDaniel about the decision to axe her. And she only found out with the rest of the world through media reports. Greg, what is going on over there?
This is why people love mocking the media. It's because of their blind spots. And all of these people had this one giant blind spot about themselves. They're mean girls. That's all they are. They're mean girls who failed up. The joy and thrill over ejecting an outsider, it's no different than a group of cheerleaders, you know, targeting some nerdy girl because she doesn't dress as well as they do. Spiritually, they're ugly, and they did this because she was different. It's a class thing, you know, dressed up as a difference of opinion, but it's a class thing. You can see it. The children won. And think about why McDaniel was hired. The adults in the room knew that this insurrection thing was a puffed up lie. And so they wanted opinion different from the prevailing hysteria in their newsrooms. So they just basically wanted a different perspective. And the children threw a tantrum. They thought they were being Jerry Maguire, but they're more like Jerry Springer. It's like Lord of the Flies meets daytime TV. But I wouldn't be that cocky if I were Chuck or Joe or Mika or Joy, because look what happened to Don Lemon. After getting the boot from X, he did his own show and it flatlined. No one is watching him. So what does that tell you about him and other mediocrities like Chuck and so on, that they actually have no natural audience? You remove the NBC platform and they're gone. You know, Rachel has a career outside, but the rest, they're as replaceable as contestants on The Bachelor. You can't even remember their names because they just serve a purpose. And again, it's another example of how, rather than competing with any kind of, I don't know, prevailing a different opinion or a perspective, whether it's in elections or speech or education, they have to throw the game board over, right? They don't want their lame assumptions challenged. The reason why The Five is number one is because we know that Jessica makes our arguments stronger because she challenged them. We're number one, but all those, they smell like number two because they can't handle competition.
Thank you, Jessica.
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much. Your name was invoked.
30 Please, seconds to respond.
Floor is yours.
Yes.
This story is starting to feel really icky. Like, it started out as I thought it was surmountable, and I expressed this when we talked about it on Monday, that I think it is important to deal with the fact that Ronna McDaniel is not your run-of-the-mill Republican. She obviously held an incredibly important job, and she was on the phone with Donald Trump calling those GOP officials in Michigan. But I thought that the appropriate resolution was to give her an opportunity to talk about that. And I think that that's something that the NBC executives could have said to the rank and file, that this is their decision. They made it to hire her. And now that they're kind of hiding behind, oh, we didn't, we checked with people. Like, I don't know what the real story is there, but maybe Ronna has an explanation or something to share with people about the dynamic or information that she was seeing. I mean, she had a lot of access being the head of the RNC, right? And being close with the Trump campaign. And it's not as if they went out and hired like a Sidney Powell or someone like that. And she hasn't been indicted for this. And a lot of people have, right, that were in Trump world. But ultimately, the problem is that the audience doesn't want it. And these are businesses. And you have to think about that as well. So your hosts don't want it. And you have spent years talking about this particular day and the months leading up to it as being kind of a holy grail moment for representing what the MAGA movement is about and going about against free and fair elections. And so I think ultimately they ended up with the right decision for their business because their audience isn't going to stand for it. People will not watch that.
I don't know if that's true, because when I'm doing book signings, Judge, I hear from people, oh, and Jessica's on, I can't stand it, I changed the channel. No one changes the channel.
Yeah, clearly
they, it's the number one show, this show on television. It's not, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. People like the dynamic.
Well, and that's the whole point that Greg was making. Look, this show is number one on all news cable. Okay, it's because we have people like Jessica, we have people like Harold, who have different opinions, and even Greg and I will disagree about things, you know, whether it's drugs, he's a libertarian, I'm a conservative. You know, people want to hear divergent points of view, and that's why they tune into this show. And the sad part about it is that MSNBC has an opportunity to bridge the divide, to try to bring the country closer, to use the long tested way of testing for the truth, and that is cross-examination. That's how this country has determined what the truth is in jury trials for centuries. But they're not interested in that. They are authoritarian leftists. If you don't believe in their ideology, and if you dare to veer from that conga line, then you are not allowed. And there is no personal freedom. There is none of that. It's strict adherence to an ideology or you're out. And I think the sad part about it is you've got reporters who are out there trying to get information from Republicans who have a lot of contacts, who've worked for years and want to be credible by getting stories that are objective and get to the truth. MSNBC and NBC is like, no, you talk to Republicans? No, we're not interested. Honestly, what I think is those hosts should apologize to their viewers and say, we're sorry that we want to impose one ideology on all of you, and anyone who differs from us is a liar. When they are the ones who got involved in the Russia collusion delusion and, you know, with the Stacey Abrams and all that nonsense.
So NBC is going to go into this general election with zero representation or voice of a Trump Republican on their air.
I have lots of thoughts here, so bear with me. One of the things that Jessica said, that she's not your run-of-the-mill Republican. Like, I actually think there's, like, what does that even mean anymore, right? So it's been 8 years. President Trump is now clearly the leader of the party, and that we're in the middle of a political realignment. So you can't, if they can't accept somebody like Ronna McDaniel, who is a reasonable person, you might disagree with her, but here's the thing. Not a single person there had enough guts to stand up and say, I think it's great. I'll have her on the show.
Yep.
And you know what? And cross-examine her. And I want to know, what did you mean by this? And how? And do that. Are they so afraid of eating alone at the lunch table that there's nobody there that has an individual thought? I found that kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Also, like, tune in tonight. They'll probably have the presidential historians on talking about how great it was that Abraham Lincoln had a team of rivals.
Yes.
Right? And they can't do that themselves. But this is, this is a bigger story with the left, because I just want to remind people, they fired the editor of the New York Times opinion section because he dared to let Senator Tom Cotton have an op-ed in the New York Times opinion page. They remember when Politico, for one day, gave Ben Shapiro an opportunity to be the guy. There was mutiny at Politico. Kevin Williamson was hired by The Atlantic. He was fired by the end of the day. And what I wanted to get to is that that's all happening in the media, but where else do you see it? You see it in the White House and in the administration. Mm-hmm. Who's catering and cratering to the left and the squad right now? You just have to look on Israel, for example. EVs, climate, or the awfuls. That's exactly what's happening. What I think Greg has said before is what they should have done at NBC beforehand, which is they needed to all go and have drinks before any of this happened. Caesar could have had, like, come everybody, come to my office. I'm going to have a drink. I want to talk. And everybody have a drink and talk to her and get to know her a little bit rather than just throwing her out there and then all of a sudden having to pull it back and looking embarrassed and having to be sued.
Drinks really solve
drinks
most of everything.
Drinks solve a lot of things.
We should drink more as a country.
Or at least go out together for like a little social moment. You could have a mocktail if you wanted.
The cafeteria table is the apt analogy. These were mean girls, and some of the people on the outside willing to hold the jackets for the fight. Like Jonathan Capehart goes on Twitter and he goes, "Well, she won't be on my show." And it's like, "Who are you?
Who are you?" Because they fired her.
He has a show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Up next, squatters may want to think twice about taking over homes in Florida because Ron DeSantis just dropped the hammer.
When migraine strikes, are the tricks.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
The freeloading is over for Florida squatters. Governor DeSantis signing a bill giving police the right to immediately remove home invaders. It is now a felony to intentionally sell or lease property that belongs to someone else or cause over $1,000 in damage. The Florida governor bashing liberal states and telling them they need to just follow his lead.
Homes are being invaded, and those states and their laws are not siding with the homeowners, they're siding with the squatters. In the state of Florida, we say very simply, what passes muster in New York and California is not passing muster here. You are not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it. We are, in the state of Florida, ending the squatter scam once and for all.
Homeowners across the country have been increasingly dealing with the squatting crisis. California residents taking matters into their own hands with a so-called squatter squad to remove unlawful inhabitants. The squatter squad successfully booting unwelcome guests from this home in L.A.
Are you on the lease?
Yeah.
You're on the lease? Show me you're on the lease. Show me you're on the lease. You know you're not on the lease.
Okay, well, he wants to.
We'll let the police do it.
No, that's fine.
This guy still can't be here.
Well, no, we put a 24-hour notice of inspection, and I have a power of attorney. So we can come in and do an inspection. There's nothing illegal with that.
Better for the state of Florida to take matters in the legislature's hands rather than people having to do it themselves, Judge?
Absolutely, because there are so many states, 50 states have laws that regarding squatters, and most of them protect them the way they protect tenants. But you know what? Florida did the right thing. In New York, we arrest people who are trying to take back their own property. But in Florida, they recognize they went right to the crux of the issue. Who owns this house and who doesn't own it? And if you intentionally lease, it's a felony. Or if you create a false document, it's a felony. But if you squat, that's a misdemeanor. That I didn't quite understand. And squatting or presenting a false lease is considered a misdemeanor. But if you cause damage, and that is a lot of the trouble, they go in and they destroy the places. It's a felony. But what my concern is this, and I applaud Florida. They do what they always do, which is listen to the people of their state. is you got to get law enforcement to prosecute these crimes, you know, and not to look at them as they have historically as civil issues that belong in landlord-tenant court, because it's not a landlord-tenant case. The truth is that if we don't do this, and if New York doesn't do it, and New York never will, because the New York legislature is so totally Democrat that it is destroying the state in terms of crime, in terms of the economy, in terms of immigration, it's a nightmare. But if we finally recognize that this is part of the destruction of the institutions of in this country that are worth fighting for, then, you know, we're going to end up in a real mess. And finally, let me say one thing. In Florida, the governor has recognized that homes being invaded is not just a crime now. The sheriff has gone out and said, if someone is breaking into your house, this is a quote, you're more than welcome to shoot them. And we prefer that you do so, so we don't have to remove them. Mm-hmm. That's deterrence. It's called stand your ground. And, you know, be careful using that line, but they're clear about not invading your property.
So the squatters' days might come to an end. This might be news to them if they check it out.
It does show you that DeSantis is a great governor, and you know, you listen, you see what he does, and you go, oh, you know, if he just had. But the Dems are so petty that they would rather spoon an alligator than actually agree with him, right? So it's like they're going to look at this and go, oh, I'm not doing that. But it does speak to the absurdity of today, that we need a law to protect you from something that is already illegal. You know, this is where we are in woke America, where private property is now open game and you actually have to have a governor step in. Squatting is a textbook example of using a country's weakness against them. So we have an ideology stipulating that criminality, all criminality is born of oppression, whether it's looting, you know, or rioting or squatting. These are the means of wresting wealth from the oppressors. And if you dare speak up, you're probably xenophobic or a bigot or racist. Right now, China is sending migrants to our border in an orderly, sophisticated fashion. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they see our weakness and they're exploiting it. And when your country's leader is apologizing for calling a vicious murderer an illegal, you're advertising your abdication of self-preservation. You're boasting of it.
This may be in Florida, Jesse, would encourage people to possibly invest, you know, buy a home and provide rent for a place to rent for people who are looking for housing.
You got to hand it to DeSantis. He is the most responsive governor in the United States. And what you're watching is representative democracy. And it's a beautiful thing. The people want something. Mm-hmm. The politicians listen and then they execute. And it's not just the squatting. Think about it. Who has the most clean, efficient election? Florida.
Florida.
You find out that night who won, and there's no fraud. They found out about DEI and CRT in schools. A month later, it's knocked out. Their beaches are beautiful. All of their interiors gorgeous. I've been down there hunting alligators and snakes. Their state taxes are low. Every time you think of Florida, you think, wait a second, this is where you want to live.
Yep.
You have concealed carry. You have stand your ground.
Beautiful.
It honestly is paradise. They don't let the Chinese buy farmland. You want something, you live in Florida, you ask the politician, oh my God, actually does what the voters want. If every politician and state could be like Florida, we would be in a much better place.
Jessica, I'm sure you agree.
I am on my way to Publix with my gun right now. Ron DeSantis was such a bad presidential candidate. You do look at these moments and you think, I get it, right? Why people vote for him. I don't know what I would do if I had actually made the jump and moved to Florida, but you can see how it was persuasive to people, certainly of the moderate Democratic breed. There is a bill, though, a New York bill from a state assembly member in Long Island about this issue, where it would remove the classification of squatters as tenants, and it would allow the police to intervene. And I think that this is one of those topics, or issues rather, where you would probably get around 90% agreement, right? If you put it to everybody, even on a national level, like what they do with gun reform, right? Should we have stricter background checks? Should the police be able to intervene if someone has no right to be in your home? I don't know what will happen to the bill. The judge is right. It's obviously a heavy Democratic.
I would love to see how AOC would vote.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a chance one day. All right, ahead, Corinne Jean-Pierre exploding on a local radio reporter. The question that set her off next.
I hear it all the time.
More proof Corinne Jean-Pierre is horrible at her job. The White House press secretary snapped at a radio host on Tuesday when pressed on listeners' concerns about Joe Biden's mental decline.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
And when the host tried to move on to another question, she was just too offended to continue.
How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family. We are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow!
But isn't it her job to answer the tough questions? It seems Biden's spokesperson has a hard time answering even the easy ones.
I'm just not going to get into specifics. I'm not going to get into that. I don't have an update for you. I don't have anything beyond that. I'm going to be really mindful, and I have to say this. This is a Hatch Act. I am a federal employee. I'm not going to provide any more details beyond that. I just don't have anything else beyond that.
All right, Dana, I have to go to you first. Okay, first of all, 60% of Americans think that Joe Biden doesn't have the mental acuity for the job.
86%.
Okay, well, my stats are wrong, that he lacks the mental ability to hold office. And also, her response was, he grew up in a middle-class family in Scranton, as if that's an answer.
Well, that was about the inflation point. I just think I'm so glad to have an opportunity to talk about this for a moment, because for a presidential candidate, doing local media is the harder thing to do than the national media. The national media, the White House press corps, as you've seen with President Biden, is pretty easy. But when you go into local media or talk radio, then you have to be on your toes. You have to be prepared. Jeannie Mama worked with us in the Bush White House. She would just make President Bush listen to all of those questions, even if he had 100 other things to do. She's like, let me tell you something. They're mad about the potholes in Charlotte. So they're going to ask you about it, and he would have a good answer for it. So they're trying to do this pivot to the South, and this was a hilarious start. Were they not prepared? This same radio station is the one where Mark Levin appears. Okay. And also, I thought he was actually pretty respectable to her, asking her about gas prices. That's what people care about. And if she doesn't have a better answer to either the mental acuity or the fact that it was 86% think he's too old to run again, you think you're not going to get asked that in every single interview? You absolutely are. They know that that's the question that they're going to get. This did not serve the president well, but it really helped the talk radio host get more attention, and deservedly so. You can't hang up on them. It reminds me of this, and my last thing is, in the White House briefing room, I don't know who stopped this tradition. The press secretary was never the one who ended the press briefing. You had to wait until the senior wire reporter said, you're done. Okay, thanks. Over time, it might have even been during the Obama administration, maybe during Trump, they would just close up the binder and walk out. That's not acceptable, I don't think, from a taxpayer-funded spokesperson. You should sit there and answer the question.
You know, Jesse, by hanging up, she confirms Americans' concerns that, you know, their concerns are not being answered by this administration. Joe Biden doesn't go out. Even his press secretary is willing to hang up on you.
Mm-hmm. It's not a classy move. It's not a mature move. It's not a professional move. You stand in there, you take the heat. And the guy didn't come out of the gate and says, does the president have dementia? He says, this is the one thing that thousands of my listeners are asking me to ask you. So she just should be prepared to answer that question. If it's that, I believe, one of the top issues for voters, and then the top issue is inflation. So she bangs on this guy like that after, what, a minute and a half? Mm-hmm. That is That makes them look so bad in North Carolina. Everyone in North Carolina is talking about that right now. They're not talking about the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yep. And, you know, Jessica, Trump took a mental acuity test and aced it. Why won't Biden?
Well, this mental acuity test, which included identifying animals and counting backwards by a factor of seven, is something they give to people that have been in traumatic accidents. So I don't know why he's...
Why wouldn't Biden take it? He's had a couple of brain surgeries.
Come on. It's embarrassing when Trump says that and when he did like man, person, woman, camera, or whatever he said to Chris Wallace. But, you know, we sit here in a very privileged position in an air-conditioned studio and get time to think about, well, how do I want to respond to this question? But you do have that job. And this is an issue. And this topic for Biden has gotten demonstrably better over the course of the last month. Think about where we were before the State of the Union, when it was what everyone was talking about. Ezra Klein came out with that piece saying, it's not going to work. You should just resign a hero. And because Biden has been out there in the last week, he's visited seven.
American people feel better about Biden since he was jagged up for the State of the Union?
He wasn't jagged up, and this accusation that he was on drugs is a little absurd. But, yeah, I do feel that, and it's reflected in the polling on it, how much money he's fundraising and the kind of campaign that he's running. He's been to every single swing state since the State of the Union. You can see it. Donald Trump has had that rally in Ohio. Otherwise, he has been in courtrooms, and he's been golfing. There's a story to tell, and she didn't tell that story.
Okay.
And I don't think that...
Okay, well, go ahead.
Everyone who is listening, even the most diehard partisan on the other side, deserves to hear what the company line is on this. And I don't think that it's fair to the listeners and to this guy who did present the question, I thought, in a very respectful way, to say this is coming from your constituents, because she's there as an envoy for the president.
Greg, yesterday Joe Biden said he took a train over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Do you think he's with it?
Well, you can't take a train over that bridge. There are no rails there. So I think he's doing fine. You know, I wouldn't have led with that question. Maybe that was the problem, right? You don't start off with that question. But, you know, you put a man out who's clearly out there and clearly in cognitive decline. It's a legitimate topic. I would have chosen a different way to do it. Like, he needs to, the reporter needed to layer his question with the appropriate BS that these people like, you know, instead of saying, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre, I'm so happy to see you on National Paella Day. You're such an inspiration for everyone, including people and women of color. President Biden is obviously at hard work, you know, trying to make sure America is safe for democracy and from the evil forces of Trumpism and white supremacy. We know how terrible that is. And how does he deal with the concerns from not just his critics and the people within his party that he has a brain made of mush? But she's so buttered up, she won't even notice it.
And by the end, she's like, oh, well, actually, sir.
Yes.
And you can watch that radio host, Mark Garrison, on the Ingram Angle at 7 p.m. tonight.
Great booking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up, Dollar Tree is going to have to change its name thanks to Bidenomics.
Some things at Dollar Tree now cost $7 because Bidenomics sucks. The bargain store bumping up the cost of food, pet care, and toiletries. That's where toilets come from. To $7 by the end of the year. Trader Joe's slapping an over 20% price increase on bananas. The first price hike on the fruit in over 20 years.
Wow.
Thanks, Obama. And Costco will be requiring a membership in order to enjoy a $1.50 hot dog in their food court. With bad news like that, it's no wonder that why Biden is dropping his economic catchphrase. Bidenomics has been disappearing from Joe's speeches in the past few months. Judge, seems like Bidenomics is as dead as the entity it's named after.
So doing great.
Yes. All right, how's this? Trader Joe is causing food prices to increase at Trader Joe's. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up with you, Greg.
That was pretty good. Trader Joe's? More like Trader Joe's.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And by the way, just because you have customers with six-figure incomes doesn't mean that you turn your back on the people who support you. And that's what they're doing. And that's what Bidenomics is doing to all of us. And that's why Karine Jean-Pierre, in that interview with that radio host, talked about food prices going down. She talked about seafood and not eggs and not bacon and not all the other stuff that matter. And that's all I have to say.
You know, Jessica, Costco says you have to be a member to buy a $1.50 hot dog, meaning you will need an ID. Is this an attack on minorities who may not have IDs? How will they get that $1.50 hot dog if they have a photo ID?
I see what you did there. And that was so cute.
Oh, thank you.
I think I talked about this Bloomberg article last week.
Oh, please talk about it again. I never cite articles here because it's
feel like you don't read.
No, it's because then people feel like they got to do homework.
Oh. No, I did it for you. No. But you'll like the content.
Okay.
It was traumatic for me because it was all about grocery prices and particularly focusing on Black consumers, and did all of these interviews about them. Has been a 25% hike on the staples, and that people are having to cut one shop out. So the average family will do three shops a week. They're having to go down to two. They're eating pasta and rice versus fresh vegetables and that kind of stuff. And 70% or more, this article reported, said they were very extremely concerned about the cost of groceries. Mm-hmm. And that is, when you look at the economic issue, they always break it down like jobs, inflation, blah, blah, blah. But that is the most in your face way that can happen. And there seems to be a bit of a void or a chasm between how the administration is talking about, because there are then also on the other side really great economic indicators like consumer sentiment or being optimistic about your personal finances for the year to come. But if that morning you went, you're going to vote and that morning you went to do a grocery shop and you were only buying pantry items.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to feel particularly good about your situation.
Well, what is it? Is it a void or a chasm?
I don't know. You pick. I think both work.
Okay. Yeah. They should do what I do. I get all my staples from work. Jesse, bananas up 20%. They're now $84.
That's because I had the $34 banana in Florida. You remember?
Oh, yes.
You remember that banana, Greg?
Now it's $56. Yep.
No comment.
Yeah, put it in the fridge. Got it all frozen.
That's right.
Frozen banana.
I don't think I did that to my banana. And don't talk about my banana that way.
Oh.
Aren't you so glad Jessica brought up the Bloomberg poll?
Yes.
Never do that again.
Bloomberg article.
Also, toilets don't grow on trees. I keep hearing from the Biden people about how prices are going down, but every time we look, all the prices are going up. It's like crime. They keep saying crime and prices are down. And every time we look around, all I see are high prices and high crime. It's a chasm between what they're saying and what we're seeing.
It's a void. It's not a chasm.
You guys are so awful.
It's as wide as the Grand Canyon.
There you go.
And this is going to be an issue that chases Biden throughout the entire campaign. Mm-hmm. And he's been out there saying that prices aren't as high, what Jesse just said, so I won't repeat it. He's got a 62% disapproval rating on his handling of inflation. And the reason is similar to the border. Mm-hmm. He went out there and took credit for the very things that caused the problem. On the border, he said, I did 94 executive orders to dismantle Trump's policies. Whoops, sorry. Now he says he can't do anything about it. But he also came in and said, I'm going to do a $10 trillion spending plan, and it caused inflation. And that, folks, is Bidenomics.
There you go.
It will never go away.
No wonder he's not bringing it up. I just want to read this article from The Economist, if you guys don't mind.
I apologize that I prepare. I think that is a terrible thing.
Fastism next.
All these games on DirecTV.
Fox News alert. Very sad news to tell you about. Former senator and vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman has died at the age of 82. His family says it was after complications from a fall. Lieberman was an influential senator who served for two decades. He then went on to be Al Gore's VP in 2000, making him the first Jewish candidate on a national ticket. Dana, what do you think?
Well, this is shocking news, sad news, and somebody who was a real patriot, someone who tried to bring the country together, willing to serve his country, is a very faithful person, and he was helpful in helping everybody in America understand the importance of supporting Israel. And most recently, obviously, since the attacks on October 7th. And he really wanted to try to figure out a way to unite the nation. And his impact in Washington and the country will long be felt. And I'm sorry for his family. What a sad way to see somebody end their life at the age of 82. I mean, he was just, he's on our air all the time. And yeah, we appreciated his input very much.
Yeah, and very actively talking about the 2024 race, you know, just a couple of days ago. What do you think?
I remember seeing him, maybe it was just two days ago, and I used to have Joe Lieberman, Senator Lieberman, on my show, and I must tell you, he was one of the most, not just conversant with all of the issues. I mean, he was someone who loved the country. He believed in compromise. You know, he was very much a force for the state of Israel.
Yep.
And, you know, he got to a very, very high position. I think he was in the Senate for something like 24 years. And he was reasonable. He was someone who wasn't an ideologue, but he wanted to have reasoned conversations with people. And he is a loss. It's a very big loss.
Jesse?
Yeah, my heart goes out to his family, his wife. I know he was a great family man, and he was a person who worked across the aisle and was very strong against radical Islam after 9/11. And I had the honor and privilege of interning for him when I was at Trinity in Hartford, Connecticut. He was my senator up there in college, and it was a really, really true honor for me.
Greg.
I didn't know you were an intern for him. I feel bad for him. That's been terrible. He was a great guy. I met him on Amtrak, and he came up and talked to me, and it impressed my family. That the senator came over and he chatted with me because he watched the five. And I always watch him before the five when he's on Cavuto. Just a great guy. And just old school, you know. We're losing people like that.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. Joe Lieberman, dead at 82. And we'll be right back.
How did I ever miss this?
Time now for one more thing. Big news. We're number one on the New York Times list.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the Pope.
Beat Christine Blasey Ford.
Oh.
Wow. Good job.
To be honest, I wasn't really that worried about it. Thank you, guys. Thanks for everybody for supporting the book, buying
Congrats.
The book. We really appreciate it. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Diddy and the Democrats, a deep dive.
I saw some of that last night. You were digging deep.
I'm too deep, Dana.
Did he or didn't he?
Very good. All right. Hey, some very adorable black bears enjoying a day on the lake on a swan-shaped pedal boat. Check out these guys. They're like, that's a sweet ride. And they've figured out a way to get on there. And I hope that they can show the final picture with all of them in it. I mean, I've got one here with four bears in it.
Mm.
No? Nope.
Oh, there we go.
Five bears
on a boat.
I love it.
There you go.
On a swan boat.
Yes.
Swan boat, yeah.
All right. It's time for...
Clueless Corinna.
Okay. This robber should have practiced his pull-ups. The suspects led police on an hours-long chase, only to get stuck high above ground on a telephone wire. He was up there for 45 minutes until he eventually lost his grip and, yes, fell onto the fire engine below. You think he feels clueless?
I love that segment.
Yeah, me too.
It's a very cute.
It's very good.
Well, thank you.
It's not as good as You Go Girl, but it's up there.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse.
Greg.
Yes, tonight. Oh, what a show we have in store for you. Joe Mackey, Charles bringing the pain. Cat Tip and Tires, that's tonight at 10 p.m. Let's do this. Greg's commuter news. You know, traffic has been terrible in New York. It's going to get really bad tomorrow, but you should see how bad it gets in South Korea when the ostriches are out. This was an ostrich running through traffic on the streets of South Korea after escaping the zoo. A 4-year-old male ostrich named Todori, and he's to die for. Yeah, not your normal morning commute in South Korea. He was captured about an hour later, Dana, after his great escape and returned unharmed to the zoo.
Oh, they didn't.
How did they capture one of those?
Well, what they did was they shot him with a tranquilizer dart. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's got a skinny neck, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
That's how the judge does it.
Right here.
an hour to capture that thing? Come on, South Korea. You're better than that. Jessica.
So a Georgia cyclist has a creative solution for all the flat tires he keeps getting. Alex Bonino calls himself the Atlanta Magnet Man and attached $1,000 worth of magnets to his bike's trailer to gather nails, screws, and other metal debris as he rides around. He has a huge online presence where residents alert him to parts of the city where he could use his help. He's collected 410 pounds of metal off the streets, even giving some to a local scrap metal artist to repurpose. He thinks it's an invention.
Wow.
That's an invention?
That is a beautiful story.
You go, weirdo.
It's a beautiful story.
Me too.
That makes us miss You Go Girl. That's how bad that was.
Well,
please, more You Go Girl.
Fine. I had a You Go Girl idea.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.